So you may say that's definitely not a new song, but that is a new song. Well, kind of. It's a new version of Bizarre Love Triangle by New Order, the 80s song, and it's been remixed, and it's on a new reissue, and I don't know which album it's actually on, but yeah, it's a new reissue. That's a Stephen Hogg 12-inch remix. Before that, Alan Sparhawk, formerly of, I'm having a brain fart. I can't remember what band he was in. He's in the Duluth, Minnesota band. Low, that's it. He was in Low, and I really like that track. That's Can You Hear? Kind of noisy sounding track. Good stuff. And we start off the set with the newest from the Hard Quartet. You can definitely hear some Stephen Malkmus guitar playing in there. He was in Pavement, and that's Earth Hater. And that, everybody, wraps up our show this week. Tune in next week for more new music. Stick around for Courts in Session with Eric. And have a great week, everybody. Bye.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. Welcome to our public affairs show for this week. Don Lennon in the spotlight.
Now, I'm not sure how much of it is satire, how much of it is real. Well, there's enough of it that's real that we're gonna talk about it. And people are regretting their vote. Are you tired yet? Are you wondering, like, wait, my relatives are being deported? Oh, wait a minute, what happened? Eggs are higher than when Joe Biden was in office. Wait, what do you mean? I can't get my Medicare? Like, wait, what? What is going on? What happened? I thought he was going to do a carve-out for me. That he was going to make an exception for me. What about me? And he didn't. And now you're an FAFO. Everyone from teachers to farmers to everyday people. Even some of the folks who just did not want to go back to work. Like, you supported Donald Trump, but you thought you'd be able to work from home. And then he's like, no, bring your ass back to work. Come into the office. And now you mad because of that. Why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad? Thank you, Jen Leonard. I will feel better soon. I just need to get more and more sleep. Thank you, Violet Ray. I appreciate it. Feel better. Take lemons. I will. I have lemons, and I got some lemon tea right here. So thank you all. I really appreciate it. But we got some business to do this morning. So come on in, everyone. Where are you streaming from? Let me know, and let me know, do you care? Do you know anyone who's regretting their vote? Now, I'm sure some people are loving it, right? Because, oh, we're owning the libs, and this is what we wanted. Whatever. It's not really what they want. They're going to tell you that. They're lying to you. Because I know some MAGA folks, and they're like, wait a minute, what is all of this? I didn't expect all of this chaos. I thought everything was going to go down. And it hasn't. And it's about to go up, especially with these tariffs. So do not get it twisted. Forget about the price of eggs, the price of houses. It's about to go through the roof. You thought that you couldn't afford the American dream. You thought that you couldn't afford the American dream. Wait till now. Wait till these tariffs on steel and metal and all of that, and aluminum, or as they say, aluminium, across the pond. Wait till these tariffs go in and see if you were ever able to afford the American dream in the near or even far future. It's not going to happen. The price of houses about to go through the roof. President Donald Trump has ordered a 25% import tax on all steel and aluminum entering the U.S. in a major expansion of existing trade barriers. The tariffs, which will increase the costs of importing the metals into the U.S., come despite warnings of retaliation from some political leaders in Canada, America's biggest supplier of metals, as well as other countries. It's not just Canada's like, we don't need you. We got our own syrup. We got our own metals. We got our own aluminum. You need ours. So do your thing, America, Trump. That's honestly what they're saying. All of this has prompted the trend on social media, hashtag MAGA regrets. Do you know some folks who are regretting? This is a mashup of tons of voters saying that they now regret voting for Donald Trump. Again, we don't know. Some of it may be satire, but we know that a lot of it's real because I have encountered some of these folks. But here it is. Watch.
In 2 weeks, I'm done. You want to talk about regretting your vote?
I never thought I'd say that, but I regret my vote. I voted for Trump.
I voted for Trump, and I regret it now.
I, as a Hispanic, I voted for Donald J. Trump. Dude, I regret it so much, man.
I am regretting my vote for Donald Trump.
I voted for Donald Trump, and now I regret it.
A lot of people who were like me voted for Trump and have to account for that.
I regret voting for Trump.
So deeply regret my vote for Donald Trump.
I regret voting for Trump.
I was a dumbass, voted for Trump. It was the worst decision I ever made.
I've seen the light, and I got out of MAGA. A lot of us there have seen the light. We have deep regrets.
I feel guilty because I voted for Trump twice. I feel very guilty because I feel responsible. That's why he's still running.
I was with Trump for 9 straight years. I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed in Trump right now.
So Marie Maniscalco says, I work with some of them. I see no signs of regret yet. That's true. And we're going to tell you why. There are some who are not regretting, but there are some who are. And I think you can take them. The folks who are regretting, you have to welcome them in. Like the guy said to me, they welcomed him in to the Capitol for the insurrectionists. He actually believed that the police welcomed them in. So I think you have to meet people where they are. Yes. Yes. Aw, cry me a river, says Britt Wilson. Yes, they should face responsibility. They got themselves into this. They got all of us into this. Why did they vote for him? But KT Frey, they voted for him because they thought that he was going to actually lower the cost of goods, of groceries, and that is not happening. None of it is happening. All he's doing is what? Playing on the American people's emotions about issues that don't even really matter, like changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Just little things like that. There's a map. You can put it up, Andy. He changed the name of the... So you think that he's doing something, right? Do you really care? Do you really care if he changes the name? Because someone can just go in and change it back. Do you really care? People are going to call it the Gulf of Mexico anyways. But he's doing it because he wants you to think that he's doing something, and he's just bombarding you with BS, 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 BS. I don't care how much they regret it, says Jay Jenkins. Well, you should care. You should care, and you should say, you know, I told you so, but come on in. Talk to me about why you regret it. Why do you regret it? Now, I think that the people who regret it most, quite honestly, are the teachers and the farmers. Because when you get rid of the Department of Education, and when you get rid of things that are going to help the farming industry in this country, that you actually make it harder in an industry that already has it the worst, those folks don't take to it kindly. Here's farmers. These are farmers expressing their regret for MAGA.
Folks who aren't feeling Trump's optimism right now are American farmers, and they are stuck in the middle of all of this.
Frank, who did you vote for president?
Mr. Trump.
Right?
Trump.
Mr. Trump.
If the election were today, Frank, would you vote for Donald Trump?
No way.
Couldn't happen.
No.
You voted for President Trump. So now, in this moment, you say you're in a free fall. What is your message to him?
So I'm off the Trump train. Where I'm going for now is I got to protect my business.
Island, a wheat farmer who says he's lost $400,000 since Trump took office.
I think there was a lot of people who voted for him that want to stay loyal to him, but it's going to get to the point where financially, if it's between supporting the president or losing your family farm.
You voted for the president?
Yes, I did.
And do you support these policies which might be hurting farmers like you?
Right now, we're the ones that are taking the hit.
I think he's sort of backstabbing the main people who got him into office in the Midwest, and he just left us down.
So, yesterday, we put up on our channel, a farmer who regret, well, he didn't vote for Donald Trump. But he says that Donald Trump is betraying the farming industry. And some of the folks he speaks to, he said they're reluctant to admit it. He said, so if you can't regret and you don't believe that you FAFO'd, then can you at least, he says, admit that you were lied to? and they all admit that they were lied to. Because it's hard for people to get into their heads like, oh my God, I did something wrong. But now they're admitting at least that they're lied to. That's the first step, is acknowledgement. Now, this is the farmer we spoke to yesterday. His name is Will Westmoreland. Here he is.
I live in the middle of it. Almost every Saturday, I go have lunch with the same group of friends that I've had for years, and they all voted for Donald J. Trump. And I hear the same thing now, although I will say it's starting to change. The first cracks in the foundation are occurring. You heard the same thing before the election. Well, he's only going to deport the criminals. He's not going to do these things to farmers and ranchers. There was this deeply seated belief out there that it was all going to happen to somebody else, the people that deserved it. And now it's happening to us. And that was their biggest reason, I think, for trying to justify their vote. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost. And what I tried to do in that video and what I'm pushing with my group, the Back 40, is I'm trying to say, while we're actively fighting against these policies that are bad for farmers and ranchers, we have to be willing to extend an olive branch to people like Skyler that say, I may have made the wrong decision. Educate me on these topics. We've got to be willing to do that.
Skyler is a rancher that Will reached out to. Will saw Skyler online saying that folks were lying, that Donald Trump had nothing to do with Project 2025. He didn't believe it. And then Will got in touch with him and educated him on it. Because everything that Donald Trump is implementing comes from Project 2025. Even the bullshit stuff. That means nothing. That he's just throwing at you to distract you. The fact that these voters are regretting their vote shows that there is hope. Coming on in MAGA Regrets. Join us to enforce the Constitution, says Jose Hernandez. Jose, thank you for your support of independent media. Yes. Look, I think these folks should be held accountable. But I think now that they're really finding out, perhaps they can help with this with the constitutional crisis that we're in. Sharice Peoples, they voted for racism, Don, not eggs. Deportations, they did. You're 100% correct. Here's a TikToker saying, you made this bed, MAGA. Lay in it. Here it is.
I have a couple comments and a prediction on this MAGA regret thing that seems to be trending. First off, we told you so for years, what he's intending to do. We kept saying Project 2025, and you kept saying no. We kept saying dictatorship, and you kept saying no. We kept saying he doesn't care about you. He just cares about your votes. And you kept saying, huh, he was joking. And a lot of you are realizing we were right. And then there's a lot of you who think that Donald Trump should give you an exception to what everybody else is going through because you voted for him. And you're thinking that Trump is going to make stipulations in executive orders because he's not going legislatively. This is all executive orders. That he's going to make a stipulation saying, well, if you voted for me, then this doesn't affect you. And therein lies my prediction that he'll toy with that idea.
Yeah, but he's never going to do it.
Perhaps even put in that rule. But then again, he just cared about their vote. He didn't really care about them.
He's never going to make a stipulation. That's not what's happening here. He only cared about your vote. And so for the ones who are not regretting right now, because I know there are some of them who are not regretting and they think like, oh, this is daddy. And he said, they will. Mark my words. But again, cry me a river. If you voted for the deporter in chief, and your family members are getting deported, then that's all on you. If you voted for cutting education funds, and he's getting rid of the Department of Education, and you're a teacher, that is all on you. Like this teacher in a red state, Here's Luke Beasley. Watch.
States that most rely on federal funding for its public schools all voted for Trump.
I voted for President Trump.
You didn't vote for Trump eliminating federal funds.
No, here. I did not vote for that. I voted for President Trump to make America first again. I do not think that's what the voters want. It's devastating.
Do you know what getting rid of the Department of Education, getting rid of the mechanisms by which that support is delivered? It means it goes away. Trying to uplift states that are experiencing major either shortcomings, failures in governance, or just happen to be for systemic reasons, struggling more. No matter how much you may hate me, MAGA, I want you to get that extra support. But Trump wants to get rid of it, and it would be devastating. She's realizing how messed up this would be for her after voting for it. When you look at these women, I don't want to go, well, you're going to get what you voted for. No, even if she's actively enabling the problem, I want to push back against that problem. One of the most admirable jobs and so important. But we have to get through that you can't vote for the people saying they want to hurt you.
Well, they did, Luke Beasley. And now they regret it. At least the people who are living in the real world, like the people who are not teachers or not farmers, and they just think that they know what everybody wants, they're sitting around going, oh, I love this, I love this, I love this. But the people who are actually affected by it, the folks who know if you get rid of the Department of Education and folks are going to have to start paying for their schools and it's going to be school choice and all of that, then they know that public education is going away. So unless you are someone who is wealthy or well-to-do, upper middle class, you can afford maybe to send your kids to private school, you're going to be okay. But other than that, you got to pay. And let's not forget the price of those eggs that he was supposed to bring down in the first couple of days after he took office. And guess what? They've skyrocketed for really the same reasons that they were high under President Joe Biden. It's a bird flu. But under Joe Biden, nobody believed the bird flu, smird flu. It's a fake birdemic. It's a flapdemic. It's not true. Joe Biden is lying. And now because Donald Trump is in office, oh yeah, well, he can't control the bird flu. People are so dumb. It's unbelievable. Now, this is how many people, you've heard black women say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm sitting out. Don't ask me. This woman that I'm going to show, and it's a little bit humorous, but it's true. A lot of people in the country who really fought for the right things, who voted not just for themselves, but for their fellow men, for other people, not just selfishly. This is how they feel. They're just sitting back and watching this. Watch.
Voted for Trump because he promised while he was campaigning like a million times that when he got into office, he was going to bring down prices, bring down grocery prices. The inflation has been high ever since COVID, and he promised he would bring that down. But it's obvious to me now that that was not true. Egg prices have skyrocketed. The bird flu is killing all the birds, and he doesn't seem to be doing anything about that. He's stopping disease communications from the disease centers in America, pulled us out of the WHO. Like, how does that help anything? And yeah, all he's been doing is taking away rights and freedoms, or trying to. He's not doing anything about the economy. So yeah, we totally regret our vote at this point. We've had a really tough time here in North Carolina. Half of my house got washed away in Hurricane Helene, and I applied for FEMA assistance and we got approved. But now Trump is canceling FEMA and emergency assistance to people. He's also canceled Medicaid for my children. I know they said they put a halt on his freezing of the funds, but the Medicaid portal is still not working, so we can't access.
That's some real stuff. Now, we're not laughing at people being hurt. We're not laughing at the folks who are in the storm zone, in the hurricane zone, because those folks are really hurting. But you voted for this because you thought that you were owning the libs and you believed the lies. You believed the lies that come out of his mouth every single day. How could you, after 10 years of him being in the political spotlight, that you could do it? And now you're saying, he's hurting my family. Other families have been saying that forever. black families. The Central Park Five then say, hey, look, he wanted to unalive us. And you still voted for him. And not until it affects your family. Now all of a sudden you're crying about it. And especially those who are, I have no respect, honestly, for anyone who does not understand the contributions and the sacrifices that African Americans, black folks, have made for this country. And also in helping women of all ethnicities with their rights, of helping all other ethnicities through the Civil Rights Act and the Civil Rights Movement. And then all of a sudden you get into the country, you become a citizen, you gain a little bit of money or wealth or ease in society. And then all of a sudden you forget about the people who actually helped you. Vivek, Nikki. Because without us, you would not be where you are. Latinos who voted for Trump. Just think, if African Americans had not made the sacrifices, where you would be. And then you just forget about black people and you forget about the people who helped you. Here's a man on Latino MAGA, regret, watch.
Latinos for Trump literally in tears because ICE is picking up their family members saying that Trump betrayed them. No, Trump didn't lie to you. You lied to you. Can somebody tell me a single nice thing Trump has ever said about Latinos? I never recall this dude saying, you know, we love the Mexicans, don't we? So hardworking, so intelligent, they're bringing the best, said Trump.
Never. Pause, please, Andy. He didn't lie to you. You lied to you. Andy, do you have the clip of what he said about Latinos? Let's show. This is how he feels about you, yet you supported him. Watch.
When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity. And now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend, believe me. And these are the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. It only makes common sense.
Okay, there you go.
Yes.
So he says they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crimes, they're rapists. Some, I assume, are good people. And you voted for him. And now he's deporting your family members. Can we go back to the man? Can we pick up the man where he was? Is that possible? Because he didn't lie to you. You lied to you. Dearborn, Michigan. He didn't lie to you. You lied to you. I feel bad for the people, what's happening in Gaza and Palestine. But he told you where his loyalties lied. And that was not with the folks in Gaza. It was with Bibi Netanyahu. I'm just saying, roll the tape.
In fact, white MAGA is calling La Migra on brown MAGA, but Trump didn't lie. Your desire for adjacency to whiteness was the deceiver. These F around and find out stories are abounding, and we ain't even 2 weeks in yet. You got the Fraternal Order of Police upset at Trump because he released January Sixers. Trump didn't lie to you. You lied to
you. You lied to
Trump's credit. He never said he wasn't going to let them people out. Red State Farmers mad at Trump because nobody is there to pick the produce off the vine. Trump didn't lie to you. You lied to you. Trump told you good and damn well what he was going to do with the migrants. The self-deception was falling for them white supremacist dog whistles and letting them trick you into thinking that brown folks was your problem in this country. No, no, no. It's always been wealthy white men. Most asinine groups is the Black MAGA voters who also believe in reparations. And they actually asked me, because of my proximity to Bobby Kennedy, do you think that this administration would have a hearing on reparations? And I'm like, nah, man.
No.
These same people act like they don't mind DEI going away because reparations is what we need. I'm like, dude, DEI is the canary in the coal mine to reparations.
There you go.
You know this? You got to be politically astute enough to...
You got to be politically astute enough to understand. They don't care about you. All of that protest voting and, oh my gosh, it's not, I can't believe that, you know, Harris is doing this and Biden didn't do this and blah, blah, blah. And what about this? And Jill Stein. And it's like, oh my God, give me a break. You were idiots. Yeah, I said it. It was the dumbest thing that you could have done, because look where you are now. Look, I hate to laugh, but it's your fault. This gentleman is right. He didn't lie to you. You lied to you. Now, I don't want anyone to not feed their family, to lose their homes or their jobs, or not to be able to send their kids to school. But he told you. So all of those people who are regretting, that is your own fault. And guess what? There are some, for the folks who are regretting, because there are a lot of people who are regretting, even your own MAGA folks are laughing at you because they don't care. They're happy about it. Nathan June says, MAGA doesn't actually regret anything. That's what he says. Watch.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but there are very few MAGA people who actually regret voting for Trump right now. Yeah, groceries aren't any cheaper. They don't care. I promise you they don't care. Because what they actually care about is DEI programs ending. What they actually care about is controlling women's bodies. What they actually care about is 40 trans athletes not being able to play field hockey in Division II anymore.
40.
What they actually care about is forcing prayer in schools. So yeah, it's fun to see these videos where like a handful of people are saying that they regret their choice because it directly impacts them, but it's not the case. Almost half of the executive orders that Trump has signed in his first 2 weeks are about equal rights, human rights, and forcing Christianity on Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It was never about groceries. And it was never about eggs, because if it was about eggs, he would be trying to fix the eggs problem.
And he's not, because he can't, and he never could. Now, I believe, look, doing my own research, it's more than a handful of people. That's where I don't agree with him on. Now we're all suffering, except the super wealthy, says Miss A. Renee Moore. You're right. The super wealthy is not suffering. We're going to hear from some of the folks like Elizabeth Warren and folks about the super wealthy in just a bit. Now, think about this. Now, I want you to imagine if everything that's happening now, and I've done this a little experiment with you guys before. If everything that's happening now, if there was a Democrat in office and then there was George Soros, and George Soros had an office of the Department of Government Oversight or Waste or whatever it is, and he was calling the shots and firing people and getting rid of money and freezing it or whatever. How would the Republicans feel? This is a dictatorship. Oh, my God, we can't do it. Joe Biden is doing the Barack Obama, Kamala Harris. What are they doing? George Soros, devil. But they're okay with it. They're okay with a dictatorship. Did you hear what I said? Now, this is America. It's a democracy. It's a republic. But do you think Americans, especially Republicans or conservatives, do you think they would be okay with a dictatorship? You know, a constitution. You know, God doesn't make kings. You know the reason that we left England. Do you think that MAGA would be okay with a dictatorship? Well, here's your answer. Watch.
Do you rather have 4 years of Donald Trump as a dictator or 4 years of President Biden reelected?
You know, you don't have to like the words that come out of the man's mouth, but sometimes in life we all need a good paddling from the principal to set our life on the right track, and this country does need a little bit of that. We need a little paddling. I mean, I was a problem child growing up, and it took a good leadership to set me straight. So I think our country does need some of that. So I hands down believe people wanted it 4 years ago, 3 years ago. So
But they didn't vote that way, right?
I don't know about that.
You think it was a stolen election?
Without a doubt.
The other day, Donald Trump said on his first day he's going to be a dictator for a day.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Would you rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years or reelect Joe Biden for 4 years?
I would rather have Donald Trump. I'd like them to see the repeal of the Roosevelt law so that he can be a president for a lot more than 4 years. But this country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
Donald Trump said in a speech that on day one for a day, he would be a dictator. What do you think of that?
No idea. I don't know.
Would you rather have 4 years of Donald Trump as a dictator or 4 years of Joe Biden as a president?
Trump.
As a dictator?
Maybe.
Would you rather have four
okay,
years
of Donald Trump? Okay, we get it. We get it. The MAGA brains. Do you think those people actually know what's going on? Look, that farmer did a really great job yesterday explaining the 40 years. The 40 years of conservative talk, right-wing radio, conservative media, just pumping it into people's minds that you can't trust the mainstream media, that the Democrats are devils and feeding misinformation, and now it's an echo chamber, and now it has all come together, and that's how Donald Trump gets elected. From misinformation and, quite frankly, from ignorance. And people don't know that they're being manipulated. And so they end up like that in America, which is a democracy, saying that they're okay with a dictator and that he should be able to run more than twice, that he should serve more than two terms, which means getting rid of the Constitution. And so when people like me tell you the truth that that's not what our Constitution says, we should never want a dictatorship, then they make you think that I'm somehow giving misinformation because they are brainwashed and it is a cult. It is a cult. That's why whoever just said in the chat, he loves the poorly educated. Because the rich folks, they know. The rich folks support him because he's making them richer. They're paying fewer taxes, less taxes than what? Than the poor in this country. Than the poor in this country. Percentage-wise, they're paying less. Now, you would think a billionaire who has ample, just, you know what they say when people say F you money, don't you think they should be paying more? Even percentage-wise? Because they have more to give. They have more disposable income. They can buy, look, if you have enough money to buy one plane, one private jet, then you should be paying more. If you have enough to buy more than one, then you should be paying more. I mean, why? How much do you need? But those folks, they know the real deal because they're smart. They know I'm voting for this man because of my taxes. In the meantime, you're fighting about social issues and DEI that you don't even know the definition of. You don't even understand the definition of DEI. You don't understand that it helps veterans, that it helps disabled people, that it helps women. You don't understand that. Just little things things where a woman can go into a private room and breastfeed and or pump milk, or any of those things. Or veterans have equal access to the job market. Or disabled people can get a ramp so that they can get to work. Just little things. And you think it's all because, like, you think it's about black people who are not deserving of your jobs, who are less qualified than you, and they're stealing your jobs. That's what you think it is. That's what they want you to think it is, because they want to keep you fighting. And you have fallen for it with your stupid MAGA brain. Because you are in a cult and it makes you feel like you belong to something. It makes you feel, you're welcome, Nicole Luongo. Thank you for mentioning disabled people like me. And anyone else who knows who other, what what DEI does, who it actually helps, put it in the chat and we'll educate you. But because you want to belong to something, it makes you feel like you're part of the club. They don't care about anything other than the ability to be hateful, says Brittany Essa. In the meantime, Donald Trump is still going around saying that the election results are not true, even though he won. He still doesn't believe that they're true, except for him. So if the election results are not true, then maybe he actually did not get the votes. Maybe folks are right. They're saying that Elon Musk tampered. That's what people are saying, right? You've heard it. That there was some tampering with the votes electronically. Well, this is what he said in an interview. Listen, I want you to listen closely and tell me if this makes sense.
They really do. You won the popular vote. You won all the swing states. But still, Kamala Harris got 75 million votes in the country.
Well, if you believe the whole thing.
Yeah,
the,
okay, the let's just say thing. Let's just say
it is ridiculous.
That the election was, it was, but as Brad, it was.
Excuse me. There are seven swing states. I won them all.
You did.
By
let,
a lot.
But let me just get to the dismount here.
And I won the popular.
Have you thought about how to try to bring the country together, to reach out or to find common ground? Have you thought about that? Or
can you imagine how tiny this person's self-esteem is? To always be so constantly obsessed with numbers and who got the most or whatever. So if it was not accurate, then perhaps his votes are not accurate. So what he's saying doesn't make sense. So shouldn't he be saying like, look, yeah, I won fair and square. This is a free and fair election, but yet and still he just can't admit it. That the election was within 1% or whatever, a very tiny percentage of the vote. He will tell you it's a mandated landslide. It was not a landslide. So Donald Trump is still lying to people. Still lying. Putting us into a what? Right now, we are in a constitutional crisis, and I have been telling you this, and it's all based on lies, and that Donald Trump and this administration, they don't give a damn about the Constitution. Neither do they care about the rule of law. I think Democrats have finally gotten it, but I think it may be a little bit too late because there's not much that they can do. Elizabeth Warren.
Isn't actually the guy who puts in the orders and cuts people's paychecks. There's somebody else in the system who does that. And they're a click down from Donald Trump and a click down from that and a click down from that. And when a federal court issues an order and then gets people in front of them and says, you either follow that order or find yourself in contempt. Now we're going to see whether or not those are people who are going to say, oh, but Donald Trump told me. And a judge is going to say, I don't care what Donald Trump told you. Mm. I'm telling you what the law is. You follow the law. And, you know, my view right now is the courts are where we are hanging on to our constitutional structure. They still have the power to hold everybody else in this country in contempt if they do not follow lawfully issued court orders.
Except, Elizabeth Warren, maybe in a state court, and that will hold true, but not in federal court where most of this will take place. They are really immune. There are no consequences. I hate to be Donnie Downer, but let me just tell you, Donald Trump will say, I'm acting in the official capacity as president. The Supreme Court granted me that right. And if you prosecute anyone that I give orders to, I'm just going to pardon them. And they are not going to suffer any consequences. And I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to keep them in the government. That, my dears, that is a constitutional crisis. And we are in one right now. So what do we do? I don't know. Elizabeth Warren is hanging her hat on the courts. Good luck. Because we see what happens with the courts now. You know what's happening with the courts? Governor Rod Blagojevich. All of it wiped away. Donald Trump pardoned him. I believe it's a pardon, right? Am I correct, producers? It's a pardon. Eric Adams. Donald Trump's Justice Department has ordered the courts in New York, the federal courts, to drop all of the charges against who? Eric Adams. Department of Justice. Can we call the Department of Justice? Someone says in the chat, you can call them. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. I'm just being honest with you guys. I don't know. And here's something else that will happen. Because there's breaking news coming out. It says Steve Bannon pleads guilty in New York. We build a wall case. So you remember that whole case with Steve Bannon? Where they said that it was fraudulent. He actually served time. Steve Bannon, a longtime ally of President Donald Trump, pleaded guilty on Tuesday on a fraud charge in a case alleging he helped defraud donors who were giving money to build a wall at the southern U.S. border. In exchange for a guilty plea, he agreed to a conditional discharge and waived his right to appeal. Bannon was sentenced to 3 years conditional discharge. He will not be allowed to serve as an officer or a director of a charity or any charitable organization in New York State or any fundraising or not-for-profit organization in New York State. This is state court. So Donald Trump doesn't have jurisdiction. He will not be allowed to receive or hold assets for any charitable organizations. He was originally charged in an indictment with 6 counts of money laundering, conspiracy, and a scheme to defraud. So Steve Bannon in state court couldn't save him from that. So maybe in these state courts, Elizabeth Warren is right. But in the federal court, nope, they are lawless. Dorothy Taylor. Dorothy, why aren't you a member? You should be a member. Eric Adams will now kiss his boots and ring as well. So Eric Adams, not suffering any consequences. Rod Blagojevich, he's already paid somewhat because he went to jail. Because he went to jail. George Conway. You guys know George Conway. Kellyanne Conway's ex-husband, who is a never-Trumper, has never liked Donald Trump. Even when his wife was trying to elect him, he was quiet then back during the campaign. And then afterwards, he's like, I've had enough of this. And then they got a divorce. Here's George Conway talking about the constitutional crisis and what the courts should be doing and are not. Here it is.
This is, you know, the only recourse will be for people to get out and say, we want the rule of law. We want a government that obeys the law.
Pause.
And that's going to require people to go out.
Did you guys hear what I said yesterday and I've been saying all along that you need to take it to the streets? Sounds like George Conway is saying exactly what we said. Let's hear him out. Here it is.
That's going to require people to go out on the streets because there is no other alternative. It's telling us something that we should have already known. And last week I said it. They are not going to obey court orders. They have decided that they are going to push the boundaries on executive power by basically infringing on the Article 1 power of Congress. And they are violating the Constitution, the text of the Constitution in the birthright citizenship issue. They are violating the text of statutes by having DOGE run around and do all the things that have been doing the executive orders. There's no reason that this government that has decided not to obey the laws and the Constitution of the United States is going to obey a court order. And as you know, Joe, having practiced law, there's really only one way that courts can enforce their orders when somebody is being contumacious or refusing to obey an order. And that's to send the U.S. Marshals out to take somebody in and to hold them in contempt or to otherwise enforce court orders. Well, who does the U.S. Marshals Service work for?
Yep.
The U.S. Marshals Service is part of the United States Department of Justice. It reports to Donald J. Trump.
Pause.
And what's...
Now, I had not heard this entire thing. I have not spoken to George Conway. George Conway is saying exactly what I've been saying. Constitutional crisis, there is no recourse. Perhaps in the state courts, people are too afraid to make sacrifices, says Kev, the creator. Yes, they are. But you got to make sacrifices. You're going to take to the streets. Maybe you don't care about your democracy. I don't know. Maybe you don't care about your son or your daughter or your husband or whatever facing the consequences of doing something that you think is not such a big deal. Perhaps they were wrong but they because they made a mistake. But yet, your relative, your friend, your neighbor, your loved one is going to be bogged down in the court, going to get caught up in the system, and going to have to pay the consequences, suffer the consequences. In the meantime, the folks who are really committing the big treasonous crimes against the country, they are going to get off scot-free. They are ruining our democracy. Let's listen. George is saying what I'm saying. Let's keep listening to George.
What's going to happen here, mark my words, is that at some point, they are going to basically tell the United States Marshal Service, do not enforce any of these orders. We will not obey them, mm-hmm. and you are not to enforce them. And once that happens, I hope it doesn't happen, but I know in my heart that it will. Our 236-year experiment in the federal rule of law, in democratic self-governance for the United States of America, in American constitutionalism, is essentially over. The courts have no mechanism to enforce their orders other than through the United States Marshal Service.
Yeah.
And thus through the Department of Justice, thus through the executive branch. The reason why we obey court orders is because the executive branch complies with court orders. If the executive branch does not comply with court orders and makes a point of saying that we will not comply with court orders, the rule of law, in as far as the federal government is concerned, is over. And that is something we need to start focusing on and discussing, because that's where these people will go. There is no logical stopping point for them.
Stop. Did you guys hear that? I've been saying that all along. Now, he broke it down as it relates to the U.S. Marshal Service. It's over. We are in a constitutional crisis. Donald Trump is a dictator. Donald Trump can basically do what he wants. I'm sorry. I know that you guys don't like to hear that unless you take to the streets and you start fighting back. They start fighting back in the courts. Yeah, Amanda Belcher, Jesus Christ, this is legit. This is terrifying. I've been trying to tell you guys that. I told you I'm not going to bombard you with stuff that's not important. But when it comes to these issues as it relates to the law, that's the stuff I keep bringing you, because that's the important stuff I'm trying to tell you. He can do, I know it's hard to hear. He can do whatever he wants to. And the people around him can do whatever they want to. You heard Elizabeth Warren and others. I think George Conway may have mentioned Doge. You guys know who Sam Altman is, right? Sam Altman also has this OpenAI thing, and he's sort of in competition with Elon Musk. He knows Elon Musk. They're both in Silicon Valley. He had a few choice words to say about Elon Musk in an interview that he did. Here's Sam Altman.
Sam, of course, the headlines right now, Elon Musk making a bid
apparently
for OpenAI. Your response, you're turning him down for $97
billion. I mean, look, OpenAI is not for sale. The OpenAI mission is not for sale. Elon tries all sorts of things for a long time. This week's episode.
You take it seriously at all? What do you think he's trying to drive at with this?
I think he's probably just trying to slow us down. He obviously is a competitor. He's working hard and has raised a lot of money for XAI, and they're trying to compete with us from a technological perspective, from, getting the product into the market. And I wish he would just compete by building a better product, but I think there's been a lot of tactics, you know, many, many lawsuits, all sorts of other crazy stuff, now this. And we'll try to just put our head down and keep working.
Does it make it more difficult to move from that non-profit model to that for-profit model for OpenAI?
We're not moving to a for-profit model. We're not sure we're going to do it all, but no matter what, the nonprofit will continue to be extremely important. It will drive the mission. It will continue to exist. The board is looking at lots of options about how to best structure for this next phase, but the nonprofit is not changing into anything or going anywhere.
Okay. What is your main mission here at the Paris AI Action Summit? You're at Stargate. There's question marks about how much you're actually going to commit to that. Maybe you can give us some numbers on that, Sam. What is the messaging here from you and the team?
So I've been to an earlier version of this at Bletchley Park, and that one was more focused on safety. This one, people are still talking about safety, but really I think people are now saying, okay, this technology is here. It's having an incredible impact. We've got to drive it. There is a lot of questions about how people can, maybe the most common question I've gotten is, can you do a Stargate in my country? you know, we need infrastructure here. We want to do this. Can you help? So that's been a common one. But a lot of other things about just how are we going to deploy this technology to make sure people benefit? Where's it going to go? You know, in what ways is the model going to improve? Last week, we launched this thing called Deep Research. There's been a ton of questions about that. You know, how can we use this to really drive economic growth? But yeah, maybe economic growth has been the single biggest theme here.
And have you had clarity on DeepSeek? I know you and the team have been looking into that, whether they distilled, whether they inappropriately used your inferencing data. Have you had more clarity on that?
I mean, whether they did or didn't,
they
built a good model. Many people will distill from many other models. Again, I feel so confident about our research roadmap and also our product roadmap that, you know, DeepSeek will do whatever DeepSeek's going to do. Other people do whatever they're going to do. And we're just going to try to, like, build the best technology we can and get it into people's hands. And I think that's mostly going pretty well.
Do you think Musk's approach, then, is from a position of insecurity about XAI?
Probably his whole life is from a position of insecurity. I feel for the guy.
You feel for him?
I do, actually. I don't think he's like a happy person. I do feel for him.
Okay. Do you worry that he has this proximity to the president and he can influence the decision-making of the U.S. presidency and policies around this agenda on AI?
Not particularly. Maybe I should, but not particularly. I mean, I try to just wake up and think about, like, how we're going to make our technology better.
Okay. Sam Altman.
Sam Altman. I like Sam Altman. He's good. I actually met him once I was getting an award in San Francisco. And my friend was like, I was like, you know what, I was in Florida and I was asking a friend that we were having lunch with. I said, can you get me in touch with Sam Altman? I'd like to get him on the show. And he said, Don, you sat next to him for an hour when you got the award in San Francisco. And I went, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. And I already had his phone number in my thing. And so I want to get Sam Altman on the show. So guys, help me. If you, you know, email Sam Altman, tell him to come on the show. But Sam Altman is saying he thinks that he is a deeply unhappy person. And that's a person who is leading the charge as it relates to what happens economically in our country, at least with saving money and trying to, you know, get rid of so-called government overspending. Jen Psaki has, do you guys know who Jack Schlossberg is? The nephew of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Caroline Kennedy's son. He was on with Jen Psaki, and I just want to play this. He and Jen Psaki had a fascinating conversation. We'll play a little bit of it, but he's talking about what's going on in the country, and he's out there. If you haven't seen him, go out, look on social media for Jack Schlossberg, but here he is.
What have you found, either from your own experimentation with playing around with social media platforms, or even just from listening to and consuming the products of some of the people you may totally disagree with? Works.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a few thoughts. I think one is the internet is like a nuanced destruction machine, and so there's no room for qualifying anything ever. Don't waste your time. If you're going to tweet something out, like make it so extreme that you can't, that it's completely, that's what Trump does. It's like a completely clear statement. Take it all the way. And that's the only thing that really resonates online, because everything else, it's too confusing otherwise. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is you have to be controversial or unexpected. So you have to be very clear and you have to be very controversial in order to break through, I think. And conservatives are good at playing with that without getting in trouble. And I don't know that we've come up with our own style of being funny and taking risks. And people talk a lot about how Democrats lost young men in this election. And I think a huge part of that is like not because we focus on the wrong policies, but because we seem so risk averse and we seem so cautious. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't think that in general, young men find that as attractive as a more risk on kind of say whatever you want attitude.
Okay. So I don't think, it's not just young men. I think it's more than young men. I think it's a lot of folks don't like that they're too scared, that they're too risk averse. A lot of folks don't like it. And that's part of the reason why Democrats lost, because they're too nervous and buttoned up. And another reason I believe that why many people are turning away from politics is because there are very few people who are like Jack Schlossberg. He's not in politics, but he comes from a political family. There should be more people like Jasmine Crockett, or there should be more people like AOC or Maxwell Frost or any of the younger folks who are in Washington, that people don't know when to step down, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, remember? like Joe Biden, like Mitch McConnell, like Dianne Feinstein. They just don't know, like, hey, it's time. And they stay in longer than they should, and they block people from coming in who can really make a difference. Now, I'm going to play this because I feel sorry for them, but, you know, this person had a medical episode, but this is some of the reason why people are saying, hey, look, know when it's time and just get some younger folks in there. But again, we hope that this gentleman is okay. It's sad because it happened to Mitch McConnell. It happened to Dianne Feinstein. It happened to a couple of people when they were in politics. And I just want to, so, you know, this is just an example of, you know, term limits. Here it is.
Worry no one on the Republican side in the House and Senate who control both the House and Senate is going to speak up and challenge us . But we need to protect Americans' privacy and their social security. For 40% of all Americans, Social Security is the basis for their retirement and their retirement savings. And for 28 million Americans, Social Security is the only thing that they have. And that's why we have to make sure that we are protecting it as well.
So I saw a couple of people with their comments up on the screen. Why was no one helping him? That's what I don't understand either. And why didn't someone like walk up and stand next to him and say, you know, hey, Representative, let's, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not being an ageist or anything. I'm just saying that there's time. Sometimes you got to know when it's time. Am I wrong? And I don't know why. Term limits would help. And I don't know why. I really don't know why no one helped him. That's a serious problem, Lisa Abiola. You're right. And he kept going. Because people have lost their humanity, someone says. They want him to fumble.
This is part of the Don Lemon weekly podcast. It's something he calls Lemon Drops. And sometimes he does them in the morning, sometimes he doesn't during different parts of the day, depending on what his topics are. So be sure to check him out on a regular basis. This is another example of some of the different things that are going on in Black America and with Ebony Spectrum as we look around the globe and give you some thoughts from our fellow broadcasters and ourselves. Thanks for listening.
The life of every child is precious beyond measure. If you care for a child with a disability and have limited income and resources, help is available. Children with a physical or mental disability or who are blind may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. The program provides help to meet basic needs for food, clothing, or a place to live, and disability-related needs. It's money that can make a meaningful difference. If you're the parent or caregiver of a child or teenager you think may be eligible, call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn how to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. It's real help for the children. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Ever lose your keys? Is that normal aging, dementia, or something else? Fear often stops us from asking for a simple checkup from the neck up. Knowing your numbers, blood pressure, blood sugar, and cholesterol are common, but your cognitive numbers are also important, especially if you're age 65 or older. Better to act sooner rather than later if you want to maintain or enhance your brain's health. Hello, I'm Kevin, president of the Dementia Society of America, a national nonprofit organization. I'm excited to offer you a free guide filled with tips for better brain health and important facts about dementia, care planning, and much more. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Your brain will thank you.
WRCT.org. WRCT Pittsburgh.
Everyone has a community, a neighborhood, school, place of worship, or other chosen groups. Communities can provide support when you need it, including helping your kids avoid underage drinking and other substance use. Learn more at talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I think we're on the way to getting peace. I think President Putin wants peace, and President Zelensky wants peace, and I want peace. I just want to see people stop getting killed.
As President Trump speaks with Russian President Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky in separate phone calls, this is the beginning of the end of the war on Ukraine. We'll speak with the nation's Katrina VandenHeuvel. Then Elon Musk's business empire scores benefits under Trump's shakeup with little to no oversight or transparency.
So all of our actions are maximally transparent. In fact, I don't think there's been, I don't know of a case that where an organization has been more transparent than the DOGE organization.
We'll speak with three-time Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter Eric Lipton about the billions Musk has to gain as he fires thousands and slashes the federal budget. We'll also speak with Lipton about how early crypto traders had speedy profit on Trump coin as others suffered losses, and his story on what to know about the Trump family's deals in the Middle East. Finally, as Indian Prime Minister Modi meets with President Trump at the White House today, we'll speak with the acclaimed Indian writer Pankaj Mishra about India, Israel, and Palestine. His new book, The World After Gaza, A History. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, an agreement has been reached for the ceasefire deal to continue. After talks in Cairo, Hamas announced it'll free three more Israeli hostages Saturday. Israel had threatened to return to, quote, intense fighting if the hostages were not freed as scheduled. In a statement, Hamas said an agreement was reached on, quote, securing housing for our people and urgently bringing in prefabricated houses, caravans, tents, heavy equipment, medical supplies, fuel, and the continued flow of relief and everything stipulated in the agreement, unquote. Israel's continuing to escalate its attacks on the occupied West Bank. The Israeli raids have displaced more than 40,000 Palestinians in Jenin, Tulkarm, Nur Shams, and Al Farah in recent weeks. In Tulkarm, Al Jazeera reports 85% of the population has been displaced. Earlier today, Israeli forces shot dead a Palestinian man at an Israeli checkpoint south of Nablus. Israel also launched a drone strike on Jenin. Meanwhile, Palestinians have begun to clear rubble in the Al-Farah refugee camp after Israeli troops pulled out of the area.
This refugee camp is targeted just like other refugee camps, and they want to plant the idea that you have to leave. It is obvious that they're trying to reduce the number of people in the camps or empty them, and they are trying, and everybody knows that, to end the case of refugees completely.
The BBC is reporting Israel's again attempting to push back its withdrawal from southern Lebanon until at least February 28th. This comes as the Israeli broadcaster Khan reports Israel's begun building five strategic outposts in the area and a sign Israel may try to keep a long-term presence in southern Lebanon. The newly formed Lebanese government has vowed to restore Lebanon's territorial sovereignty. In other news from the region, the Wall Street Journal has revealed U.S. intelligence agencies believe Israel's considering launching a major attack on Iranian nuclear sites this year. The finding was made by the Biden administration shortly before President Trump took office. The Journal reports the intelligence analysis concluded Israel would push the Trump administration to back the strikes. President Trump spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin for 90 minutes Wednesday. Trump said they agreed to soon meet and immediately begin negotiations to end the war in Ukraine. Trump then held a separate call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. This came as U.S. Defense Secretary Pete